of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. For you are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. For you are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. For you are my Lord. I will seek your face. And I will seek your face with all of my heart. And I will seek your face with all of my mind. And I will seek your face with all of my strength. For you are my Lord. For you are my Lord.
One final time, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. The author of this psalm, as you might know, is King David. And at this point in his life, David has crashed. He's at the end of himself. He's fully bottomed out. As a king and as a ruler of all the people, he has everything he needs and a whole lot of stuff he doesn't. And even with everything at his command, he cannot fix what is going on in his soul. And so he pleads. He speaks out of his brokenness, out of his bottomed outness. Now, if I tell you this, you got to promise not to mix it up with what's going to happen later. But this comes on the heels of something very serious in David's life, as you might remember. As a king, David saw a woman one morning who was married, and in order to get that woman for himself, he sent her husband away to war to be killed. And he was. And he conceived a child with this woman. And when the child was born, a prophet came to David named Nathan and told David a terrible story about a terrible man. And David was so furious when he heard this story, he called for this man's life that Nathan was talking about. And Nathan said, "You're him. You're that man." And David broke down. And that's when David found out that his child wasn't going to make it. And that's when David couldn't leave the room for days. He was broken. I like to think that the inside of David was turned outside, and he was fully exposed. He was fully vulnerable. And he was a mess of a man. Now, the reason I didn't want to tell you that backstory is because you might start to think, well, David was a bad man. David did something really wrong, and he should be sorry. Because when we start to think like that, we start to distance ourselves, us and you and me, we distance ourselves from David. And what we need to do when we hear about David's iniquities and David's story is come right into it. Because we tend to say, like David did, well, whoever you're talking about, Nathan, that man should be put to death. When we forget we're talking about ourselves. And David realizes this, and the first thing David can say is, "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me." I feel like the only people with a serious problem in this world are the ones who don't know they have a serious problem. We all have a mess of things that we are working through, and ebbs and flows to this life, and sometimes the weight of those problems becomes more than we can bear. And to not take ownership in those things, that's the biggest problem. David finally takes ownership. I lit two candles tonight for two individuals, close friends that I know, who are still married but are really, who may not be for long. And I've been communicating with them over the past several months, and it really hurts to hear both sides of the same story. And I find myself at my weakest point as a friend to them when I start thinking, well, you know you should have, or if you didn't do this, then you never would have, because I'm failing to look at myself. I'm failing to see their image in my own image. I'm distancing myself from people I love, and therefore distancing myself from me. My friend, a real close friend, my best friend in the world, recently texted me about a very dark time in his life. Happened about 8 years ago. And during that time, he said, looking back, I remember that going to the bar after work is where I felt the most safest and the least judged. And he goes, when I went to church, though, I felt like I couldn't fit in, like I couldn't be myself. I thought, I am so sorry. You know, I am so sorry. And I think what he was trying to say, if I could speak for him, was that on those late evenings in that local bar he went to, I think he felt like he was allowed to be himself, like his insides were allowed to be turned outside without any judgment passing, whereas on Sunday mornings he had to button that all back up. And that stings a little bit. It stings a lot a bit. And so with that, this is what I encourage. I encourage you and me and all of us to turn our insides out. so that the light of Christ can shine on those areas. Because when you're fully exposed and when you're fully vulnerable and when you're fully weak, that's when you're ready to be your strongest. And I hope you find the safety to do that here in this church and not down at a corner bar somewhere after, because I think that's when we're best as a church, when you and I feel the safest around one another, when we are realist. I think that's what church is all about. Speaking of being the strongest at our most vulnerable, it was Jesus Christ who was his absolute strongest when he showed he was at his weakest. When he said to disciples, people who were closest to him, that he was in fact going to be losing his life very soon at the hands of people who were motivated by fear and hate. So he said to them, "This is my body." And he lifted up a loaf of bread. And he said, "This is my body broken for you and broken for everybody. This is me at my weakest so that you can be at your strongest. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when that supper was over and they were all together after the meal, he took a cup, and in the same way, he talked about how his blood's going to be poured out, how he's not going to be around with them after a few days. And he says, "When you drink this cup, remember my blood, which was poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins, not just for you, but for everyone, for all of creation, so that everything that has been created can go back to the Creator, fully loved again. And every time you do this in remembrance of me." Pray with me, if you will. Lord, we ask humbly before you that you pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that we may be for the world the body and blood of Christ, seeking to redeem the places of the world that need to be redeemed, the dark places that need to be light. May we find our calling and live out our calling that you have placed upon us to do that and to be that. In your name we pray, amen. As many of you may know, but I want to make sure, this is an open table to all who want to get to know Christ, who are continuing to know Christ. If you want to come up and take communion, this table is open to you. I welcome you to do that. I also welcome anybody who would like to serve alongside of me, if anybody's willing to do that. I wasn't aware of somebody who'd be able to do the cup at all. That would be great. So as you're able, I invite you to come up here and head back to your seat. There you are.
With love and strength
for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. His word will still remain. He will do something new today. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way. Closely to His side, with love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
As a blessing, I want to tell you my favorite line from the scripture. It's when David writes, "Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice." I love the imagery. I love how that sounds. I feel like that would make a great song lyric. So my hope for you is that your bones become crushed so that you can experience the most realest of real rejoicing, and that your bones be crushed in a community of believers whose other bones are being crushed. Amen.